It's your girl, Queen Sunny Honey, and welcome to another edition of Freedom Friday. That's right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Caribbean Radio Show. We are the Knowledge Station. Today, ladies and gentlemen, I need you, all parents, anybody who's on their way to college, get a notebook right now. Pull out the notes in your phone if you don't have a paper or a pen, because Dr. Champagne Odin is back. Just in case you forgot, this is the sister from America who has gotten her bachelor's, master's, and her PhD, Dr. Champagne Odin. This is the sister who has written over 40 books before she turned 40. And this is our knowledge before we went to college on how to get scholarships and everything. Not someone on the outside, but someone who's truly gone through this journey and come out with success. So if you are a young person or a parent who would love to have the opportunity to study abroad using financial aid, this is the show for you. Get ready, get ready, get ready. We have Dr. Champagne Odin on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Hi.
Welcome, Dr. Odin. It's always great to have you on our show today.
Thank you.
So, for people who are listening for the first time, I didn't do such a good job with giving the real. Let us know where you studied.
Where I study?
That's right.
Okay. All right. So, you're talking about, like, my university experience.
Yes, right? Ma'am.
Okay. All right. So, I first studied at Wheeling Jesuit University, which is a private Jesuit Catholic university in West Virginia. I studied there for 4 years. During that time, I also studied abroad 3 times. And a study abroad is when you, as a student, will take your classes in another country. But the classes may be the same as the American classes. They might be slightly different than the American classes, but I did that 3 times. So my first study abroad program was in China, and then my second and third one were in London. And then after that, I went back to London Metropolitan University. I did my master's there for 2 years. And then finally, I graduated. Then I came to Japan. I think I've been in Japan 13 years and 9 months now. So for the last, let's say, 10 years, I've been doing my PhD. And my PhD program was with North Central University, an excellent university to do your PhD. And also with North Central University, I was able to study abroad 2 more times. I studied abroad in Mexico. And then I also studied abroad in Cuba.
Wow. Tell us about the financial aid process for those who want to study abroad.
Thank you. Well, I think, like, in terms of studying abroad, I think we have to go a little bit deeper because the study abroad program is part of a university program. And the university program is part of the university. So to get the financial aid to first do your degree, and also shout out to all the athletes. I'm also an ex-athlete as well. When I say degree, I mean a real degree, not just taking classes so that you can play for a university football team, okay? Shout out to a lot of footballers. You guys do this, you need to stop it. If you're going to be, you know, a student athlete, then you also need to get your education, at least get your bachelor's degree, okay? So in terms of getting, like, the scholarships for the study abroad programs, first, you need to get scholarship and financial aids, which can also be loans. You get that from either the government or from your university. I was able to tap into both of those. And the reason why I was able to tap into both of those is because I was an athlete. I was a sprinter. You know, that's how I was able to go to university. I was a sprinter, so I got an athletic scholarship. I also got an academic scholarship. So I was able to get scholarships from my university and also financial aid from the government. So the way you do that is that you actually have to have at least above, I would say above a 3.0, you should have higher than that, in my opinion. And the higher your grades are, the higher your SAT is, the more financial aid you would get. And just to digress a little bit, my brother, I'm 40, I'll be 41 this year. My brother is 20, he'll be 21. He got a full ride. He's in his last year of doing his engineer programming, and I very much encouraging him to do his master's degree in engineering. He doesn't have to. I mean, you don't have to get your master's in engineering, because engineering is a very special course. But I told him, you know, at least, you know, if you don't want to get your master's, then work full time for someone and they can send you to your master's degree program for free. I said that's another way to do it. You know, I really, you know, really push both of my siblings. My sister's a nurse and my brother will be an engineer. But like, my mom is just so clever. She's really clever on getting really free education for her kids. So to go back to your question, how to get financial aid to study abroad. First, you have to have over a 3.0 GPA. You should have a high SAT score. I would say 23 and above will get you high scholarships. Once you get the scholarships, you go to university. Then you can, let's say you do 2 years at university, then that's when I would do a study abroad program, maybe in your junior year for 6 months. You could even do it for 1 month. Oh, it's not 1 month. You can even do it for 1 year. I ended up doing mine for a year and a half. So out of the 4 years at school, I was away for a year and a half, you know, China and then London. So I hope that answered your question.
Yes. And I would like to know, how early on is it okay to start looking for scholarships?
Oh, thank you. Very good question. Now, I'm from Ohio State. For those of you who are not in America, Ohio State is next to New York and Pennsylvania and right under Canada. Now, I'm from Ohio, so we have a program called Upward Bound, which I've been a part of since I was 16. My brother the same. So basically, we were able to go to Akron University, or the University of Akron, to be more specific, since we were 16. We attended there, and we got free college courses for free. This is free. And I did that when I was 16, so I was, what, maybe 10th grade or something like that? But in Ohio, you can go to college from 7th grade. So in 7th grade, you might be, what, 12 or 13 or something like that. But if you're smart enough and you're ready for that free education and, you know, it's free and you get, let's say if you go in your 7th grade, so 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, by 10th grade, you'll have a university degree. And then you can start your life earlier. That's the great thing about Upward Bound. So if I were you, especially if you're in Ohio, I think Florida has a similar program. Get with Upward Bound. Also, what parents need to do, especially Black parents, you need to put your kids into sports. Like I said, I'm an athlete. I've been running track and field since I was 11. Sports are a great way not only to discipline your kid, but also to get scholarships. So that's another way with sports. But Black parents, don't think your kid can just be a dumb athlete, okay? Like, for me, my mom, she stressed both, but she always told me, listen, you're awesome now, but, you know, eventually this is going to have to stop. You need something to fall back on. So always make sure your Black children know that they're a great athlete in the moment, but that's in the moment, and they're going to need something to fall back on, which is their education.
Yes, shout out to Upward Bound. This is something that I partook in, as not as being a student, but I worked for Upward Bound during my college years at Claflin University, and many of the students the next year, they matriculated into the college that I was in. It went from the summer program. This is an excellent way that ushers parents, gives you the financial education that you need, and actually gets the kids starting to get the credits that they need. So I am a strong advocate. By the time I graduated, there were people that were sitting in the class with me, and I'm like, don't call me miss. I'm not your counselor anymore. You're just a year behind me. So yes, this is excellent to know by age 12, parents, not 12th grade, but by the age of 12, there are so many programs that your child can do it. They can begin the college process. And also, I work for Fayetteville State University, where we have a early college program. Most of the students that I met had their degree by 18 years old. So yes, it is totally possible. Find out what your state does have. Specifically ask for Upward Bound programs, because we know that a lot of high school counselors and a lot of college advisors are advising the wealthy, advising those who don't need the resources, and we don't know what to ask. So here, Dr. Odom is giving you the information. Walk into those places and ask for it. You never know until you require assistance. Go out there. Don't wait till your child gets to high school and ask about these programs. Talk to us about the SATs, because when you brought up the score.
ACT.
ACT.
Yeah, that one was better for me. I did much better on that one. Actually, I think me and my brother both scored like a 23, which is, I mean, that's pretty good. And actually, what's funny, I actually didn't even study for the ACT. Guys, don't be like me. Actually study. I'm actually a good test taker because I'm dyslexic. So I've been taught on how to take tests. But that does, please don't do that. Please study. Do not think, oh, Ms. Champagne didn't study, you know, for her SAT or ACT, so I don't have to study. Yes, you do have to study, because you're not dyslexic. You don't get time and a half. You probably don't have a tutor that teaches you how to select the correct answers. So, you know, please do better than me. Please do better than me. But yeah, with the ACT, I mean, they have college prep courses. Well, not college, I'm sorry. They have ACT prep courses that you can take. There's plenty of books. There's YouTube. I mean, you can do anything on YouTube nowadays. So there's really no excuse for anybody not doing as good as they should do on that test. Like I said, my brother even got a 23, and I'm pretty sure he studied, but I'll have to ask him if he did or not.
That's right. And just to piggyback off of what you're saying, for those of you that don't know about the SAT and the ACT, these tests are not given every weekend. So like Dr. Champagne just said, if you decide to do it and you don't do so well and need a retake, it could be several months or perhaps the next calendar year before you actually can get scheduled in. And yes, in the history of America, they found that a lot of the SAT scores or culturally biased. So when given the option, look and see what your university is willing to accept, because I've also heard through the grapevine that the ACT was a better test to take. No data to back it up, but hey, if people in the Black community are advocates for it, I'm here for it. Woohoo!
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Now, what are some tips that you can give to students who are saying, Dr. Champagne, how do I get a scholarship? Does someone come and knock on my door and say, hey, you know, we're giving you a scholarship because you're an athlete, or, you know, because you're a Girl Scout? What do those steps look like for scholarships?
That's really funny that you say so, because actually, in terms of Upward Bound, it was my track coach, Olin Clay, from Central Howard, Central Howard High School. He was the girls' track coach. He actually did knock on my door. Now, at the time, you know, I think I was maybe 13 or 14. He came to my mom's house and said that he wanted me to run track, summer track, because I would be going to Central, you know, the next, you know, the upcoming school year. So I would say your coaches, especially Black men coaches, are the best resource in terms of getting scholarships, because my coach was also the one that told my mama about Upward Bound. And my track coach was like, you should take all your classes there. But my white counselor was like, oh no, you don't want to do that. Just take half of the classes here and half there. But I really wish I would have listened to my coach and just had taken all my classes at Akron U instead. But I mean, you live and you learn. So like I said, Black male coaches are the best experience for getting scholarships for their athlete students. Another way to get scholarships, I mean, guys, you can Google it. You can talk to your guidance counselors at your even at universities. Like, you can start doing college tours early. You can ask the schools, like, how do we get scholarships for our kids for university? All you have to do is ask, because no one is going to just tell you. And I kind of realize that's just the way it is in life. You have to ask for something that you want.
Thank you for bringing up the point about taking half classes in one place and another. While working for Fayetteville State University, I worked for Clemson University and Benedict College. Shout out to all of them. One thing that students don't realize is that when you're transferring, all of the credits will never transfer because this is a business. If I can get you to take, say, oh, no, we won't accept it. And of course, the content is the same, but every college is going to label a class differently. So from that business aspect, when you do have a timed goal, a plan out there, yes, people, try not to split your studies between two places, because if you transfer on the business side, college is truly a business. I don't care if you're going to someplace that's, oh, it's a Baptist college, it's a Methodist college. You know, during that stage in my life, religion was key. But at the end of the day, the crushing reality was, this is just a business. Yes, I appreciate you bringing that up. And for moms to know that the coaches, the athletes, look at these people who are leaders, because on their desk are opportunities. In their phone, people are calling and saying, hey, I'm looking, we have funding. And these opportunities just connect as a village. That's what's gotten us where we are. I appreciate when I interview you that you're able to recall the people who've helped on your journey and shout them out. Now, this is important.
Definitely.
Yes. And shout outs to Girl Scouts of America, because I do recall getting a scholarship that helped me out at Claflin University during my undergraduate studies. So just to put this out there, if there are groups that you're affiliated with, if your favorite cereal is Cheerios, type Cheerios scholarship and just see that there is a scholarship under every brand company out there. They have a scholarship, even if you're not necessarily going to work for Cheerios, or if you work at Sonic right now, look and see what they do have. Chick-fil-A, Walmart, all of those programs. Let's talk about the competitive nature of scholarships, Dr. Oden, because I need for our people, you know, these kids and these families are sitting in a house where their mom tells the whole community, my child is the smartest in the home, the smartest in the classroom. Let's prepare them with the realities of a million applicants for this one 5,000 scholarship. Can you go into that?
Absolutely. You know, like as a teacher myself, I don't classroom teach anymore because like now I'm a university professor, but classroom teaching refers to teaching children. I have checked many of moms and I've told them, listen, in these four walls, this is United States of Champagne. Here, I'm in charge. I know you think your child is more special. He's special to you. I have 26 other children. So I'm sorry, the rules do not change for your kid. And I've told parents, like, moms, if you want to get me fired, that's fine. I'm American. I can get a job like this in Japan. It's no problem. This is why I can be very blunt and honest with people. But that I say this to say that mothers, and I don't think American mothers are as entitled as some of the mothers in this region of the world, but moms need to know your kids are special to you, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there are billions of people on the planet with billions of children who are probably smarter than your kid, and that's just the way it is. You know, humans, we have a very limited way of seeing things because we can't see for miles away. Well, I guess we could see for miles away. But my point is, when you step outside of your block, you see the right side, left side, and maybe up, but you cannot see for miles and miles into other cities. And if you can, let me know how you do that. But my point is, you are on a very small island as yourself. Like, you're never as big and as important as you think you are because there's millions of other small islands, which are people. So in terms of being competitive, parents need to know that there is competition out there against your kid, especially for Black kids. You know, we do have the competitive advantage, but the problem is because of racism and all that stuff, our kids have to deal with more stuff. So in order to make your kids competitive, you need to start from day one. That's just the way it is. I was raised to be very, very competitive. I'm very, very aggressive, but I use my aggression in a positive way. And the thing about me, why I'm always successful, I stay ready. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. Black people as a whole, I think we wait until the last minute to try to change something, and it doesn't work like that. So if you want your kid to be competitive, you have to start from day one. You need to make sure they do their homework to 100%. My mom would tear up me and my sister's homework when we wrote it sloppily because she is home. So, we had to be absolutely almost perfect in our house. Like, everything had to be perfect at all times, which I thought was kind of crazy, but now I do the same thing and I get it, because you take that perfectness into the workplace or into the, the school place, so that you can be competitive. And you have to understand that that's just life. If you don't want to compete, then don't. But nobody else cares. Nobody cares. So stay ready, and you don't have to get ready.
Thank you for that honesty, because the reality for parents is when you come across that you allow mediocre to pass and you call it perfection and you advocate and the system just slides your child to the next grade, this is actually a war strategy. In the art of war, when your child becomes an adult, gets ready to compete, to go to college, they will inevitably fail. Why? Because the system was not designed for this little black boy, a little black girl with the arrogant parent to say, hey, this lower level handwriting, low reading skills, he's the best, let's sign them off to the next grade, sign them off. When it's time to compete for scholarships, it's not going to be a factor. They will be the last scholarship. No, they won't get approved for anything. And that's a silent threat in the black community that allows so many people to go into debt and really not get the grants and scholarships because your parents have just allowed, and the system will go, okay. The same way with referrals and demerits. By the time a child gets acclimated with the lack of respecting authority, a lack of following and reading the rules, reading the requirements, taking the time to do nothing more than to slide through the system, then no, they won't reward you in the end. You'll come out with a lot of debt. So, Miss Dr. Champagne, let's say we have a 11th grader. Let's take them through the calendar year. If you're in 11th grade, what should you be doing in the fall, in the spring, to prepare for graduating and going off to college? And, they have a little time ahead of them. What are the steps?
Let me go back to my junior year. So I was at high school half of the day and then at university the other half. So I was busy. I was in class. I was either in high school class or university class. And then after school, I was in track. So I was always busy. Summertime, I ran track and I worked. So it was always me never having idle time. I never, ever, ever, ever had idle time in high school, ever. So not being like, and I don't want to say being busy and being productive are different things. You need, if you're going to do Upward Bound, go to university full time. If you can't do that, go to university part time and do high school part time. If you're an athlete, you have to go to practice at night and you have meets on the weekend. So, that should keep you occupied and busy and focused. The main goal is to be focused, not to be busy. But in terms of upcoming graduation, for me, it was never that, I don't have enough credit. It was never that for me. Never, never, ever that for me, because I was just so on it. Because I had to be, because my mom, like I said, nothing less than 100% in our house. The Odin household is not a house. It's not a household of failure. But for those of you who are not me, I would just make sure that you have all of your classes in a row. Because every time, like, a black kid tries to graduate, he didn't take, such and such and such class. Well, why didn't you tell me that last year? Oh, it just slipped their mind. No, they don't want him to graduate. So you're going to have to go through your own records and make sure that everything you need is up to date. That's it, because the system is set up for you to fail, especially if you have a black child, especially if you have a black male child.
Education is key on this, because I noticed working on a college level that students who were supposed to graduate on time Typically, it was 6 months later. Let's get you to graduate in December. Now, from a student standpoint, like you said, is having a class that was unnecessary. Basket weaving was never a part of the agenda, and just getting off track.
Basket weaving? Are you serious?
Yeah, just students really taking up an elective, or just the randomness of not having proper academic advisement on their scholastic journey. Just thinking that, hey, time is on your side. I'll graduate in 4 years. Going back to the element of this is a business. So from the inside of the university, if I can get you to stay longer than you typically would, I've just made more money for the business. And for you to stretch out funding, you know, funding only lasts but for so long, so it goes against the student, and they're not seeing it in the meantime. My question for you, Dr. Oden, is how soon can parents start looking into FAFSA, filling out the application, or even getting familiar with financial aid?
Good question. Okay, so, and I have to refer back to myself. I didn't know anything about FAFSA until my track coach called my university, which would become my university in Wheeling. And then the coach there called me, and he was like, yeah, well, honey, you know, we really want you here. Do you have your FAFSA? And I was like, no. He said, well, you got to get one. So, you know, by, you know, talking to universities, I mean, I started talking to universities when I was in 11th grade, because they will tell you what you need to do and what, you know, what their requirements are. So he told me you have to get your FAFSA. So me and my mother at the time, we didn't have a computer at home, which is pretty much everyone at that time. So we went to Kinko's, shout out to Kinko's, and we did the FAFSA. We, you know, got the scholarships and all that stuff. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't want to go off on another tangent. I just want to make sure I stick to the point.
Because a lot of parents don't understand that their tax information and what it includes. You know, perhaps there's students listening to the show that they think that this is just, I could just forge my parents' handwriting and fill out this document. Nope. And for those of you who are trying to understand, well, what is FAFSA? Is the only way that you can get federal funding for scholarships, for student loans. You have to be in the system. So you have to fill out this general application that actually reports what is the house.
Can I interject? Guys, this is money from the government. These are not scholarships or loans from banks. That is a completely different system. So please don't confuse the two.
Exactly. And once you fill out that application, the funding drops in February, the calendar year. So when you fill it out in the fall, if you are on time, you get the maximum amount of funding. What they don't tell you in the financial aid office is that the later that you are, the less funding that you can get. So it's definitely something.
Can I interject once more? What you're saying is 100% correct. And we heard this from our admission advisor. And this was a white lady. She straight up told us what you just said. And she said a lot of people don't know this. She said, because no one tells them and no one asks. She said, so it's good that you were early because now you have more money. She said, if you wait too late, then the money's not there.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know that you guys have questions. We're going to look forward to you writing into the show to Dr. Oden. You know you can write to Queen Sunny Honey. And next week, we're going to continue this out with some of your Q&A from the audience. Get ready, because we're not going away. And in December of 2021, all families everywhere in the world, no matter where you are, if you have an American passport or you're an American citizen, Dr. Champagne Oden and Queen Sunny Honey are here to take you through those steps. We'll be piloting a very nice program that's going to help our next generation create a legacy that allows you to study anywhere you want in the world, be fully funded, find the scholarships, and get the village concept, because whatever you don't know, we've gone through the journey. Until next time, everybody, do bye-bye, boo.